Go with me today to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Very familiar scripture. Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Of all the books of the Torah, all the books of the Bible, Jesus quoted more from Deuteronomy than any other book of the Bible or any other book of the Torah. It was most of Moses' ministry. Most of Moses' sayings, God made them holy canon. Actually, they were God's sayings. It was truly a blessing of the Lord because Moses was dealing with a nation. He was dealing actually with a vision of a nation. And God would speak to him. And God got very direct with Moses to tell the people. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I want to read 19 and 20. Title of this message this morning is Life is About Choices. Everything you've ever done came from a choice. You choose to live for God or you choose not to live for God. You choose to work for a living or you choose not to work for a living. Everything you do, you choose your wife, choose your husband. Everything has to do with choice. Life is made up of choices. So life is about choices. So God comes here and produces a choice to these people. And he says is this, I call heaven and earth. Now that's the two witnesses. Heaven is the throne of God. Earth is the footstool of God. That's two witnesses there. What does the Bible say in the New Testament? Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. So now these are witnesses to this nation. And God says in 2 Timothy 3:17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So this is also for us, even though he was talking to the Jewish people. And if you're born again, you are Jewish because you are the seed of Abraham. You understand? So that's the two witnesses right there. Heaven is his king, his throne, and earth is his footstool. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Now, let me stop there for a minute. You remember when I was told you I was preaching at the Vision of Leadership Conference that when I get a big donation, I tremble? You heard me say that, remember? Any donation, I tremble. Because, you see, God will hold me to what I said. And when I started this ministry, full-time ministry in 1978, when I received the first offering ever given to me by a church or by a person, I said, Lord, for every dollar given to me, give me a soul into the kingdom. And instead of shouting, screaming, and hollering when somebody give this ministry $100,000, I tremble because God says, now I put into the books that you go get me 100,000 souls. Amen. Do you see that? That's why I push broadcast earth so much, because I'm preaching to billions of people that need the Lord. Amen. And you know that wonderful song? People need the Lord. I love that song. He says this, let me read it again. I call heaven and earth to two witnesses to record this day against you that I have set before you life. Everybody say life. And death. Blessing and cursing. So that's four things here. Life goes with the blessed. Cursing goes with the death. He says, I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Now, I like to use the grammar that they put in here, or the punctuation. It's a colon. It says, therefore, he tells you what you should choose. He doesn't make you choose it because he knows life is about choices. He gives you free will. Therefore, choose life. Now, watch this, that both thou and thy seed may live. That's not the end of the sentence. In other words, your choice will also affect your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. You see what I'm saying? Seed flowing and growing into harvest. Therefore, so I'm going to say something somebody not going to like. Your children does not choose where you go. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Your children does not choose what God tells you to do. Do you see that? It's not that you're against your children. You love your children. But see, God says, if you'll choose life, I will take care of your kids. And I will honor them. all the day. How do you know that? My David was dead many, many years. And God said, I remember my servant David. And I not allow this to come upon his descendants. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say it again. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now watch this. Then he tells you what happens when you choose it. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Why would you love the Lord? Because he can make you choose. But he doesn't. He gives you that opportunity. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. And that thou mayest obey his voice. Wherever there's love, there's obedience. That thou may obey his voice. And thou mayest cleave unto him. In other words, closeness, affection, desire. For he is thy life. Not your job, not your genetics, not your genes. Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. My God. That thou mayest dwell. It didn't say visit. That means he wants you to own property. God's into real estate. You understand what I'm saying? He wants you to own something. That thou mayest dwell. Not just rent. Living on welfare. From hand to mouth. He wants you to own your place. Do you see that? The government don't want you to own your place. Actually, if you own something, then they still tax you for it. That's not right. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. Put your name in there. We're the seed of Abraham. Swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. This message is about life. Life is about choices. Let me deal with this right here. Write this down. A choice always turns a debate into a decision. When you're debating something, you are burning daylight, like John Wayne said in many movies. You're burning daylight. But when you make a decision, that is a choice. Life is about choice. See, what do you choose? One time when me and Kathy got close, I chose to give her an engagement ring. We were getting mad when she had the, what do you call them things, them cards that you sent out, the, whatever you call them things, invitations and all this kind of stuff. I got a little nervous. Not that because I was working, I just got a little nervous. I thought, Lord Jesus. And my daddy said, I'm going to tell you something, boy. He said, right now, you're going to have to feed it. And they eat a lot more after you marry them. Remember daddy telling me, he used to love it. He said, they don't eat much before you. They eat a half a slice of pizza. But my God, once you marry them, he said, you can throw pizza like Frisbees. They'll eat them. And they get shoe crazy on you. They buy more shoes than you ever saw in your life. They're in the shoes. They all got shoe fetishes. Okay, and he was just smiling. Yeah, I was starting to sweat. See. So I walked up to her, Kathy, and I said, Kathy, maybe we ought to delay this thing right here. And she said, she made a choice. She said, it's either now or never. What you gonna do? And I thought of that song, it's now or never. Na, 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 na. I said, okay, I'm gonna do this thing. Once I made the choice, see, I had a debate going in my mind, which causes clutter and confusion. I love democracy, but sometimes we debate too much. Now, I understand you got two sides of a coin. I understand that. But, I mean, you figure out the coin. You know heads is better than tail. What's coming out the head? What's coming out the tail? Now you got it? Okay. So a choice changes a debate. Let me just say it correctly. A choice always turns a debate into a decision. Now, here's the next point, and it's a question. Why search for life when it's one decision away? Why are you searching for life when it's just one decision away? Why are you struggling with being a tither when it's one decision away? Why are you struggling? My God, you think that the church or somebody's trying to get your money when God's trying to open up a window of heaven, pour you out a blessing that shall not be enough room to receive it, rebuke the devourer for your sake. My Lord, why are you having a debate? Would you think the Lord were healed when he said, by his stripes you were healed? My God, before you ever got sick, your answer is older than your problem. Do you see that? I mean, why? Why? We cause our own problems with debates instead of decisions. We don't make a choice. Once a choice is made, you go forward. What are you saying? Why search for life when it's one decision away? Just that simple. I remember people were so, my dad was so afraid. My dad never had nothing. All his life. My dad was not very good with money. He was not a good business person. And I can say that not because he's in heaven. Yet God gave him phenomenal opportunities and he never took it. He had favor. My father did have favor, but favor gives the opportunity, but he never took them. He would rather rent than own something. I had to buy his house. All those years, my God, he never owned anything. Till I said, buy the house, Daddy, and I'll pay the house off. Because he thought, well, He said, I don't want, man, a 30-year mortgage. Lord, well, you just spent 30 years of rent, and you got nothing. Boy, don't talk to me like that. I said, okay. Mama said, talk to him like that, Jesse. The old fool. Isn't that amazing? What was his problem? Choice. You're going to pay it anyway. Now, here's something else. Oh, so cool. Oh, now you're getting on my level of faith. Now, you got a choice to borrow money and a choice to be debt free. Do you know, and I'm saying this in front of my tax attorney, that it's smart sometimes to borrow money that you can use? I understand all that. But you see, I made a decision, and I ain't better than you are. Don't forget about all that. I'm not against people borrowing. Oh, but I made a decision that I'm going to walk up that one rung ladder and I'm going to owe no man anything but to love him. Amen. That was not an easy choice. We're believing God for another aircraft. Okay? A Falcon 7X. Lord Jesus, David, wait, when you fly that thing. Anywhere in the world. Now, what? David tells me, Jesse, listen to me. I pay a lot of taxes. You know, you do my taxes. You're going to do it next week, huh? Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Okay. Watch this. Watch this now. Now, this is smart. This is smart. I agree with him in my mind. He said, Jesse, go borrow the money. Not the ministry. You borrow the money. That's a lot of money. He said that, and then leased it, watch this, to Jesse to plant his ministries, not at an exorbitant rate, just whatever it is. And he said, and you are finished with taxes, am I right? Forever. That's what I pay him to tell me. That's good, I like that. Sometimes he just, why don't you listen to what I said? Now watch it. If any other business person would do that, they would buy something, whatever it may be, personally, and then lease it to their company. Everybody in this building, everybody on Fox 8, everybody on Channel 6, Channel 4 say, what a smart businessman. Now, this is legal for me to do that. Am I right, David? Very legal. But if I go do that, they'll call me a crook. He's making money off the ministry. No, let me make an announcement. The ministry's making money off of me. Do you understand? You see all this money on this church? I could have had that. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But what happened was, I'm not trying to leave a legacy. Forget about the legacy. What I want to do is the will of God, see? Makes good sense. But I know they would say, Lord Jesus, I tell you what. Now, if you did it, you'd be a shrewd business person. If I did it, I am nothing but a crook. No, I'm not a crook. I know that sound. I know Nixon said that. I'll never forget. I'm not a crook. I said, well, you better not be crooked if you say you're not a crook. You follow my point? Do you see what I'm saying? But I made it the choice. I said, David, I'm going to bleed to pay cash. And he does this. Okay, Jesse. Keep paying the taxes. And I understand that. I know what he's saying is right. But you see, the reason why I can't go back is because I stood before a holy God and said, I will owe no man anything but to love him. Amen. Now, you know what's amazing, ladies and gentlemen? And Joe Bowles is sitting, do that, Joe, so everybody know. Joe is doing the E-handy, make sure that plane's safe. I got Ken Bell in here somewhere, and I got Eli. They're flying the plane. Tomorrow, I could go to Chase Bank tomorrow. They are waiting on me, man. They say, you want the plane, Reverend? Go get the plane. We will lend you the money. But we're going to put a mortgage on this. On the house. We'll put a mortgage on your grandchild if we can. And then all of a sudden, you're here. It's very possible you're here. Whoo, man, we don't pay this note, we're in trouble. How many times have you seen it in other churches? Nothing wrong. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Because you see, it's always good when everything's going good. But I've learned something about the devil. He's bad. He's going to turn it bad. Why do we have recessions and depressions? It's the same people that are doing the blessing. All of a sudden, they begin to swap things around. All of a sudden, we just go into a recession. Somebody pulls back on something and panic hits. It's all done on faith and fear. So let me say it again. Why search for life when it's one decision away? Write this down. God will not force you to do right. God will not force you to do right. He urges, he persuades, and he entreats. He will not force you to do right. You know, he's got the power to do that. But he refuses. Why? Because he gave you a gift called free choice. The American government didn't do that. It wasn't when we declared independence. We had a choice. We decided to be free. And Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So why won't God will not force you to do right? He urges you, he persuades you, and he entreats you. You see what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot of atheist people, and atheism is really getting stronger and stronger every day in this world. But let me just say this point. Without God, life is a shadow, a blank, and a void. Let me say it again. Without God, life is nothing but a shadow, a blank, a void. When the Bible says, in him we live, that's Acts chapter 17, verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. In him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But without God you have, life is nothing but a shadow, a blank, and a void. Now, how do you get rid of the shadow? How do you get rid of the blank? How do you get rid of the void? A choice. Life is about choices. You choose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior. That's your Lord and Savior. Think about that. It's all done by choice. We still got black people think slavery going on. They're still mad about that stuff. Don't shout me down when I'm, listen to me. Yeah, that was wrong. That was wrong. I don't see how. I seen 12 years a slave. Now, we know those things happen. You understand? And it's wrong. That's not the issue. I don't have a problem with that. But my God, don't let that breed in you. They still control you and then people are dead. Let that go. Hallelujah. And you know what? You become the plantation owner. You become the person who owned the big White House. Okay, you don't like White House? Paint it black. You the one, whatever, glory to God. You the one that owns the land. You the one that has the sugarcane fields. You the one that has the cotton fields. Why does God always be somebody else? Why can't it be you? Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody controlling you from the grave. No. Jesus set us free. That's why he came out the grave. Amen. Do you see that? Amen. Before I was born again, raised very poor, I thought if I could just get enough money, my God, I'd be happy. I never forget when I had money. I was in my 20s, early 20s. I was doing very, very well. Ooh, Lord, very, very well. Make a long story short, I was so disappointed because I thought I would be screaming, shouting, and happy. I had a void, and yet mama kept telling me all those years, make a choice to live for Jesus. Amen. So let me say it again. Without God, life is a shadow, a blank, and a void. Write this down. God interferes not, nor trifles with the power of free choice. God interferes not, nor trifles with the power of free choice. Sometimes I am the CEO of Jesse the Planet's Ministry and Covenant Church. I am the founder, CEO. If anything goes wrong, they're coming to me. They see that name. You see, and I have a choice to live godly or live ungodly. I've had some wonderful opportunities to live ungodly. I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I have had some wonderful opportunities. But Kathy told me, she made a choice. If I ever catch you, you're going to die, boy. You're going to die. It's going to happen. She just changes. Something comes over this woman. I'm going to kill you slow. I ain't killing you fast. I'm going to kill you slow. I'm going to nail you to the floor and set the house on fire. Oh, Jesus. Y'all got that revelation right there. You know what I'm talking about. That's how I'm going to live. Look at Judy going, what is that? I mean, don't worry about it, Judy. One day you'll know. Ask your daddy, you know. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I'm telling you. I've had many opportunities to live ungodly. I refuse. You know, it wasn't my faith that didn't make, that stopped me from living ungodly. It was my choice. Amen. You ought to write that down. Yeah. It was my choice. God will not interfere with that. Now, you know, I wish sometimes God would, but he doesn't, because he gave you freedom. God interferes not, nor trifles with the power of free choice. Here's another one. You as an individual are alone before God. Let's face it. When it's all said and done, you ain't gonna have your mama next to you when you're standing before God saying, that's a good boy. That's a good girl. It's you and God. You as an individual are alone before God. You decide for yourself the question upon which eternal life or death depends. Your mama can't make that decision. Your daddy can't make that decision. You and you only, that's it, yourself, will answers the question about eternal life or eternal death. How do I know that? Them two witnesses. That heaven and earth. That's my king, that's my throne, that's my footstool. Now you in between. Make your choice today. You see what I'm saying? Life's about choices. You understand what I'm saying? The reason why the human race is so much far above, watch this, so much far above than the animal race. Okay, if you look at cats, or you look at, after a while, all animals, usually all female animals, are the best mothers, most of them are. But there comes a point and a time, if a female cougar, a female tiger, a female lion, female whatever, something, one day, mama gets up and does. In other words, let me explain that. Get your butt out of here. It's time for you to make a choice. I've been feeding you, licking you, my tongue raw from cleaning you up. It's time for you, boy, to make your way in the world. What that mother, cat, or whatever animal it is saying, it's time for you to make a choice. Now, the human race, at least most people, are not like that. I know sometimes I bother Jody and Jay. I just want to come over there. Dad, the house ain't clean. That's a lie. It's clean. I've been in there. Well, sometimes it hadn't been clean, but most of the time it is. You know, you got kids and a dog and all that kind of stuff, you know. But you don't want, you kind of look for your kids. Then you look for your grandkids. And Ricky said something the other day. He said, I have not experienced it yet, but so I learned from Ricky. See, because now his grandchildren are getting a little older. So the oldest one is Jordan. Now I want to tell you something. I have been in Ricky's house with Jordan just hanging on Ricky, hanging on Christy. Boom, boom. But now she's, 15 years old at the time of this preaching. She's going. She still loves him. That ain't got anything to do with it. But she's making the choice now. Now, they're not going like this, get out of here. Maybe Jason is. No. But what's happening is you see, God puts it in the individual instead of the mom and daddy have to say that, even though we say it sometimes because we want them to work, teach them things. They begin to want to, we call it spread your wings. And they'll get to a point. They love their grandparents. We love them all the days of their life. There will come a time right now when Meredith comes to sleep at my house after she takes her bath. And I mean, that's all kind of stuff. I hear them little feet running. And she's coming to the front. And she just grabs me and she'll kiss me. Good night, grandfather. And then she's going to the back and Kathy's going to read us three stories. She likes not one. She likes three stories, you know. But there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day when she's not going to do that. She always will love me. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. But there'll come a day when I'll see her go, I'd just rather be with my friends. And don't let that hurt your feelings. Because actually, you did the same thing. A choice began to develop in your life. So I kind of learned it from Ricky. Ricky said, that ain't easy. That ain't hard. That's hard. And sure, it's supposed to be. Because you see, we always want to kind of keep the brood. You know, it's hard. You know, when your child was an egg, you could sit on it. But not no more now. My God, man, here you are, you a hen, and you happen to have a eagle. Boy, you can't put your one wing over that boy. It'll come to a point, let me tell you, lady, they'll come to a point where that boy, the one that you just love, is going to choose that girl over you. That's part of it. That's life. There's a choice. Now, they're going to honor you. They love you all the days of your life. That's not the issue. But they got to make their choices. And they're supposed to. So you as an individual are alone before God. You decide for yourself the question upon which eternal life or death depends. Now, the reason why God gave you this life is about choices is his love. Write this down. His love is always the dominant power in all activity and enterprise. Everything God does is completely corroded with love. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every bit of it. It's all about love. Everything that you do for your children, it's all about love. Now, they may not think it's love, but it is. It is. His love is always the dominant power in all activity and enterprise. Everything I do for Jody or Jay or Meredith, it's all about love. It's just all about, yeah. I don't have to do it. Jody don't ask me for nothing. I got to pull on Jody sometimes. You know, I don't want to be a blessing or something. Don't ask me nothing. No, you know, nothing. Serious. I mean, you know, but I just want to do it because it's just walking out of love. A lot of time I buy Kathy things. It ain't her birthday. It's not her anniversary. It has nothing to do with any, quote, special day, whatever you want to call it. That stuff. It just has to do with love. She said, well, it's not my birthday. It's nothing special. Well, you special, just go ahead and have it. You understand what I'm saying? So it's the same thing with God. God just loves us so much that he is... What's the word? I could say it in tongues. He is love. I mean, you could actually tattoo God with love and it'd be one and the same. God and love, one and the same. Even the Bible says God is love. So his love is always the dominant power in all activity and enterprise. Now, I want you to listen to this point. Write it down. Your future results always follows from present action. Your future results, I'm teaching this morning. Your future results always follows from present action. In other words, what you do today, what you create today will produce your future, which you will have for tomorrow. That's why I tell people, if you're in the business, the way I do it, now some people don't believe it that way, they do what you want to do, but I'm 20 years out. I'm always 20 years out because I know things change in life. So I have enough, you know, and when I make a decision, I make a decision. Well, if you lose money, you made the decision. At least you made the decision. But you see, if you can lose money, you can recover it. You may not recover it the next day, and you might. I mean, that could happen, you know, or something, you know. But, I mean, my God, if you do the same thing you did in the future as you did in the present, you'll get those results. That's called work. See, you understand? So a lot of people say, how can Brother Jesse do what he do? Like Ray Charles used to say, I'll make it do what it do. I love Ray Charles. I really did. So I said, well, I create my world. You've heard me say it. And I walk in it. I don't let the devil create my world. I don't let circumstances create my world. I let me create my world. Let me say it again. Your future results always follows from present action. So what I do today will determine what I'll be and what I'll receive and what I'll have for tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you know, I've looked at my, quote, retirement, which I know, ladies and gentlemen, I will never retire. I don't care how old I get. I think I'm going to preach the Lord Jesus Christ until Jesus comes or I go by the way of the grave. Because I've tried to figure that out. Without sounding prideful or arrogant, I got enough money to retire. You understand? I mean, I can go off into the sunset. Me and Kathy, just into the sunset. We can go, she like Hawaii, we can go live in Hawaii. I can buy me a place in Hawaii, cash. Bless God. I mean, owe nobody nothing but love them. Just sit on the beach and suffer for Jesus for the rest of my life. I don't mean that pridefully. Listen, but why? Like Kathy said, Jesse, look at the ocean. I said, I've seen it. I've flown over it. I've been in it. You understand? I'm not against it. I can do it. But you know, I'm a man. I enjoy my work. But then I got to thinking, how do I retire from a calling? I know as I grow older, my body grows older, it won't grow feeble. Because you see, I'm speaking to it. That means when a pain shoots up at me, I speak to it. I don't deny it. You see me wear glasses when I read. I got 20/20 vision. But my God, when I read, if I don't have them glasses on, it's like I was when I met Kathy. It's like a lifeguard. It's a swimming pool. Them words just do this. And I'm doing, you might see it. You ever seen people that they don't have the reading glasses? They're doing this. Because man, them words are going, catch me if you can. But you put them glasses on, boom, it just grabs it right there. You see what I'm saying? There's been a lot of times I played piano, and when I played piano, I couldn't even see the note because I couldn't see the key. But I trusted my fingers to listen to my mind. You see what I'm saying? When you understand this, I could do those things. But how do you retire from a calling? How? Yeah, you may slow down some. I mean, that's common sense. That's not the issue. But I mean, you know, once a preacher, always a preacher. Once Dr. Deloach is here this morning. Once a doctor, always a doctor. I don't care if he gets a 900 years old. Somebody come up and say, hey, doc, what do you think about this? Because you see, just because you get old don't mean you lose your training. Now, they're constantly training over. It's like we do pilots. It's called, you know, you go in there and you keep recurrent and all that kind of stuff. Not that you forgot to fly, know how to fly. And yet, do you know a lot of pilots are forgetting how to fly? Do you know that? Yeah, like the 777, that thing fly itself. Most of those big guys that are flying 747, they're so computerized that they'll go out and buy a 172 Cessna little prop called stick and rudder. So they don't forget how to fly. Well, forget about all the computers telling us. They know what to do, you know. And even though it's on a way smaller scale, but the central theme of it is the same. You got to learn to fly. I heard that the other day on television. The guy said, I own two little Cessnas so I don't forget how to fly. What do you mean don't forget how to fly? And this guy was a major guy in Delta. He said, oh, I fly the biggest planes they have. But he said, actually, they fly themselves. In fact, Eli told me, I think it was Eli, it might have been Kathy, maybe it was Eli. He said, if you set this thing right, we were flying somewhere. He said, Brother Jesse, this thing will land itself. Did you say that? It'll land itself. And I thought, I didn't tell him this. Well, what I have him for? Look, he got red right there. If it'll land itself, what I need Eli for? What I need Ken for? Let me tell you why. Because I don't know how to make it land itself. You got to set that stuff. And if something happens to happen and it goes off. Yeah. And then bless God, the old Negro spirituals come on. Swing low. Sweet cherry. One time we had something happen. I was flying with Kendall Coleman. I said, Kendall, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to land, Jesse. In other words, you're going down, baby. It's just how fast you go down. That's a whole ball of wax. It's action and reaction. It's amazing. Yeah, you think. But you see, that's what I mean. I'm not trained and qualified to do that. When I had my first plane, I remember this. I had a pilot. He's a good guy. But, you know, he says, listen, he didn't want me to hire anyone else. He said, I'm the best you got. He said, I'm the best pilot in the world anyway. I was just smiling. And he said, if you're going to hire a co-pilot, just give me their salary. He said, you know, we single pilot anyway. He said, I can do it. I said, well, Jack, just let me think about it. Sure enough, I'm flying back from Montana, and I'm in this little plane. In fact, Happy Caldwell was flying the plane I first had, and I was like this. I had my head back, and the Lord said, open your eyes, Jesse. Open your eyes. Open my eyes. I said, what do you want to say, Lord? He said, don't look at me. Look at him. I look, and I see Jack like this. Now, the plane's flying itself. It's called automatic pilot. I said, Jack. Yeah. I got it. I said, Jack, I think I'm going to sit with you. So I went in and I sat in the right seat and I just talked to him. You know, when somebody talks to you, it keeps you awake, you know what I'm saying? That was a long flight home. Maybe we shouldn't have flown that night. But, you know, he wanted to get home. I wanted to get home. And we were looking at, I don't know, an assessment of what, can at least 3.5, 4 hour flight. Boy, that's a long way, you know. And if you're leaving at 12 o'clock, you're talking, you're flying all night in a sense. Well, I realized if that boy pass out or die, it's me and Citation 700 Victor Charlie. I said, Jack, I'm going to sit in the right seat for about the next 9 months. I want to learn. So if something happens to you, or nothing happened to me, I'm a lot younger than you. You know, a lot of young people die quicker than older people. That's a stupid statement, huh? I said, I want to learn the event you pass out and die. And I'll say, Citation 7 of Victor Charlie, I'm in trouble here. Somebody help me talk me down. So when they tell me what the rudder is and show me all, and I begin to learn all the instrumentation. I said, let me work the radios. And I had to learn to say certain things. And because there's a language when it comes to pilots and aviation and the FBOs and the centers. And they say, and they'll say, Citation 700, Victor Charlie, this is center, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you'll know what's going on. So I began to know those instruments. And my guy, when they call in, I'd call in and they'd say, they give me permission. They'll clear me down to 20,000 feet, but I'm at 39,000 feet. But it's all done by the pilot's discretion. If there's nothing real busy out there, you go down as you want, you know, blah, blah, this and that. And then sometimes they make you stay where you are and all that kind of stuff. I actually learned it. I really believe I could land that plane. I ain't saying it's going to be in good shape. But I believe we would survive because, you know, you understand? Then I thought, you know, I might ought to go to that current. I might go with them and get in that simulator because if I crash that, I'm not going to die. And just learn something. I really don't want to learn how to fly. I just thought, in case. But then I came up with a wonderful, much better decision. I did 9 months. He said, Brother Jesse, I believe you can land this plane. In fact, I had one of my tape men in the back one time. I said, let me fly the plane. We took it off, I guess. And everything has to do with small corrections. You don't do this. You don't do that in a plane. Because people are going to throw up on you. Fear will just encompass the plane. So Mike was sitting in the back. I'll never forget it. He no longer works for me. This is years ago. Sitting in the back. And I took the throttle, I guess what, not the throttle, the yoke. And I went, plane immediately pitch, buddy. And so Michael comes to the front like, he said, is everything okay? I said, sit down, boy, I'm flying the plane. He goes, boss, I love you, but let the other man fly the plane. I'm throwing him around back there. Because I was making big corrections instead of little corrections. You see what I'm saying? The little corrections, you know. In other words, God will, if you let God do little corrections for you, you won't feel how he's guiding you and directing you. Amen. Now, you get out of bounds, he's going to have to make a big correction. You're going to get a revelation. Which brings me to the next point. God seeks to instruct the heart, not the head. God seeks to instruct the heart, not the head. If the heart is not rightly fixed, attention is misdirected. If the heart is not rightly fixed, attention is misdirected. Let me say it again. God seeks to instruct the heart, not the head. If the heart is not rightly fixed, attention is misdirected. Buddy, when your attention gets misdirected, you are in for some trouble. If you let circumstances around you misdirect you, you got problems. Now, write this down too. Misdirection produces instability, feebleness, and a falling away. Misdirection produces instability, feebleness, and a falling away. Let me say it again. God seeks to instruct the heart, not the head. If the heart is not rightly fixed, attention is misdirected. Then what happens when your head, when the thing gets misdirected? Misdirection produces instability, feebleness, and a falling away. Ladies and gentlemen, we were flying one time from Dallas to New Orleans. And we knew we had bad weather in the New Orleans area, but we didn't realize this was on a Delta jet. We did not realize, this is years ago, all of a sudden the thunderstorm began to close in. I mean, it was banging, New Orleans busted. So, and I could see New Orleans. All of a sudden, I could see black cloud just swirling, just coming. I'm not talking about tornadoes, but you got to understand when you're up there, man, these things are boiling. They're just coming. They're building like crazy, rain and everything. So the Delta pilot says, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot land in New Orleans. And I was only, Kenny, maybe 5 minutes from landing. We could see that. I mean, they were on approach when they pulled off. They said, we're going to go back to Shreveport and land. And I don't know why they chose Shreveport, but they did. And he said, and then let this stuff pass and we'll come on back. Well, bless God, all of a sudden, I mean, while we were coming in, there were thunderstorms building behind us. When we turned, and we must have flew maybe 15 minutes, he realizes he cannot make Shreveport because now it's being slammed. So he said, I'm going to land. He said, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like, what he was going to say, it looks like that we're going to have to go back to Dallas. We're going to have to climb like crazy and get back. He had enough fuel, thank God. Make a long story short, he goes, it looks like, boom, something hit. And I went, my God. And when I looked up, I saw the clouds. I'm sitting in 10B, which is the aisle seat. I look up, and there's a hole this big above my head, which makes no sense at all because that should not happen because the plane's not grounded. That means if lightning hits the plane, it ought to go out them little things. But you never know what lightning going to do, electricity. All of a sudden, there's a hole in water hitting me in the head. I look up like that. People start screaming. I mean, if you're Catholic and you don't have your rosary, you'll pray on somebody's pearls. You understand what I'm saying? You'll grab a string of pearls. Oh, Lord. Ah, Father, I never been in there. I mean, and I look at me, water hitting me in the head. Now, watch this. This flight attendant, we have a flight attendant here, my man here, watch this, that he would understand it. She loses it. She just loses it. I mean, we go, whoa, I mean, and I'm letting water hit me in the head, and I'm sitting down, and I'm looking, I'm going, good God. People screaming, I'm smelling smoke, there's fire, but the hole is this big. And she says, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. That's not a message I want to hear. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. You know what I did? I unbuckled my seatbelt. Her tension was misdirected. She's trained not to do that. I grabbed her by her shoulders and she's doing that. She was freaking. Everybody was freaking. I guess so, man. And I grabbed and I shook her hard. I went, remember your training. I hollered at her, but remember your training. She goes, yeah, yeah. Then we get this, ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain. We are landing this plane in Lake Charles. The runway is too short. I'm going to burn the tires off this thing. We're going in the grass. Both people go, ooh, ooh, Jesus. I sat back down and the girl was just like this. Remember your training. Buddy, I want to let you know, you know, they call it landing on the numbers. He hit that sucker right before the numbers. I thought, my God, man. Boom! I mean, he hit it. He put it down, and y'all, you heard, doing everything. And man, you look, and I'm thinking, we're going off the runway. Now, here's this: when we're coming in, there's fire trucks and there's ambulances with red lights on, and they're waiting for you. That is hair raising. And I go, screaming and howling, all that kind of stuff. And he goes, and he stopped maybe this far. And the smoke and the fire coming off. He burnt the tires off, burned them off. I mean, you could hear I call it the rims. I don't know, Joe, if that's right or whatever. Because you know how I knew when we hit the rims? Now you got sparks flying up at least 25, 30 feet in the air. I mean, that boy had ice water in his veins. That captain was good. My hair. And all of a sudden, the back of the plane open, it stops, and everybody goes, oh, and here come a fireman with an axe. Running, I'm not exaggerating, running down the dadgum hall. If he'd have failed, he'd have decapitated somebody. But he is in his zone. All of a sudden, boom, shoots the plane. Boom, get out of this plane. Boy, everybody getting out of there and all that kind of stuff. Thank God we had some bumps and bruises and all that kind of stuff, but nothing real serious. So we're in Lake Charles, Louisiana, just standing around looking at each other. Everybody going, whew, man, whew, Boy, not a foam. You seen them hitting that jet, you know what I mean? And those emergency people knew what they were doing. The Delta captain comes up to them, tells everybody, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting some buses. We're going to have to bus you to Lafayette. And so we can get you some, because he didn't shut the airport down now. You know what I mean? There's fire pieces, there's everything. He said, they're going to bus you to Lafayette and rebook you and things like that. And he said, who's Mr. Duplantis? I thought, oh, that's it. I'm going to jail. He said, are you Mr. Duplantis? He said, can I speak for you for a minute? Oh, Jesus. So in the back, he says, I want to thank you for helping my flight attendant control herself. I heard what you said. I said, you heard? He said, I heard you hollering. He said, that was right to do that. She should not have done that. But in this kind of situation, I appreciate you doing that. So that's all right. He says, I want to thank you for flying Delta. And he says, you don't have to stay on the bus. We'll get you a car. I said, sure. So sometime when Kathy loses it, I shake her and say, remember your training. No. No, I just thought it was funny, but well, I gave it my best shot, but it didn't work. See, that's misdirection. Look at it. Produces instability, feebleness, and a falling away. Let me close. I got to hurry up. I'm going too long. Obedience is not for a season. Write it down. Obedience is not for a season. This is about life is about choices. Obedience is not for a season. It is constant and universal. Obedience is not for a season, but it is constant and universal. Now, I can preach an hour on that. God says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Well, let me give you this last point. We have been forewarned about death. Flee impending evil. Where do we go? Hide in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have been forewarned about death. Flee impending evil and hide in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me just say this. Obedience is not for a season. It is constant and universal. We have been forewarned about death. Flee impending evil and hide in Christ. So when the devil tries to make me do something, I flee from that evil and I hide in Christ, the hope of glory. Did you enjoy it this morning? Life is about choices. What did Joshua say? Choose ye this day whom you serve. You're having problems with your body? Choose you this day that by Jesus' stripes you are healed. You're having financial worries and things of that nature. Understand that. Choose you this day that God will supply all, not just monthly, all. Because when you get all, there ain't no more. That's not good English, but it makes good sense. Right? As you grow older, say this, with long life will God satisfy me. And show me His salvation. Now, salvation means soundness. Speak that to your body. Amen. Say it out loud. Don't deny the things that might be hurting you. Say it out loud and flow. You say what you want instead of saying what you have. Amen. Say what you want. Amen. And don't let nobody talk you out of that. Because, see, that's a choice. Amen. And Joshua said it. Notice that he didn't let his kids make the decision. He says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because he knew that he was protecting his kids. And they may not have understood it. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they did. That's not the issue. God didn't make you a father or a mother for nothing. He knew you could handle kids. And you know what? That's probably the greatest gift he ever gave you. And what a blessing.